Bob and Sherry's Excellent Spring Break to the Yucatan 2024, Part 2. Well, today we're going to take our first tour. We're heading to Chichen Itza, one of the great Mayan civilization cities in the Yucatan. Although it is very late Mayan, it's actually more related to the Mexican area of the Toltecs than it is to what's called the Puuc architecture of the classic period of the Maya. Now, I've told you this before, I taught Latin American history for 27 years and spent most of my time on pre-Columbian history. Then we'd bring the Spanish in, and then we'd set up the independence movement. So being able to come out here and see it, I've shown pictures in my classes from slides that I've made from books and other places, and I've had a couple of people who have actually been to Chichen Itza. One did climb it, take a picture from the top. And it's a good thing that I have that, because they don't let you do that anymore. I will say that the Mayan ruins are in spectacular condition, well maintained, and really wonderful to visit. But if you're expecting to climb the Castillo, the calendar temple at Chichen Itza, it's not going to happen. They just don't do that anymore. Now, a couple of things. When I set up this tour, I went through the list of all the different tour groups that did these, and I picked out a relatively expensive one. It cost Sherry and I about $400 to do this. But the guide was considered one of the best in the area, and so that was a plus. But they covered everything. They picked us up at the hotel. They paid for our entrances. They paid for a cenote entrance. They provided lunch, and then of course we went back. So we were out and about for about 6 to 7 hours. 2-hour trip from Mérida to Chichen Itza. Eventually you'll be able to take a train there. The Pan Mayan rail system, which goes from Cancun to Mérida and then supposedly down to Palenque, has stops at Chichen Itza and other places, but they're not fully prepared at this particular time. So that was our intention. Now, when you get guides, you never know what you're going to end up with. Now, these people were very excellent, but they gave the alternative view of what was going on, and they tended to poo-poo the data that had been collected previously. And I find that this happens frequently. So it's not something that I ended up fighting. We ended up just kind of going along and pointing out different things and going back and forth. So it was a really good learning process, particularly for Sherry, who had no experience with this whatsoever. So she had lots of questions. And then I was able to bring some different things into the mix as well. A couple of things that you want to think about when you're going out here. Going to the Mayan sites is not cheap. It's going to run, I believe, between $25 and $35 per person. They have multiple levels of ticket entrance. The cheapest is for students, locals, and the highest is for foreigners. If you're going to see these sites, don't go on Sunday or check the time, because that's free for everybody except foreigners, so the place will get very, very, very crowded. And sometimes, now it didn't happen at Chichen Itza, it happened at Uxmal, you could pay with a credit card, but you first had to pay 95 pesos at a window. Then they would give you a receipt, then you could go to another window and then charge the rest of it. So it can get a little strange sometimes. And I know everybody who first goes down to Mexico, everything is 17 pesos to the dollar. So 170 pesos, you know, that's $10. So it can look weird when you're going, well, let's say this is going to be 450 pesos per person. Yeah, but it ends up being like $25 or something like that. The other thing is that, of course, Chichen Itza will indeed be crowded, but it is a huge site. The people disappear pretty quickly. You're not planning to come in, see one building, maybe two, and then I'm going to leave. Now, we came in to the main headquarters, and then we stood out in the open plaza with the calendar temple on our right and the main ball court on our left. And I would say that the distance between the two of them is probably about 600 yards. And there were little shops everywhere. The Maya are allowed to set up sales on these sites. And so there are tons of people selling souvenirs, gifts, clothing, you name it. One of the things they had is a wooden whistle that when you blew on it, it made the sound of a jaguar roaring. And I go, I'll pick that up at the end. And we never went back anywhere where it was. And then when the next time we went out, none of those places we went to had that. So if you're going to one of these sites and you see an object that you would like to have, buy it. Don't wait. The main visitor center had a really good library of books and magazines. and I intended to go back and pick some of those up, but the way our guide worked it, we never went back in. We just went out. So that was a little disturbing. We'll probably, next time we go back, which may be next year, we'll go back again just so I can do some of this stuff without a guide. I don't need to do that. So anyway, we walked in. We looked at the calendar temple. Now, of course, we're there in February, so it's not solstice. It's not what, you know, where you have the equinoxes and everybody is going crazy, because it does have a, when the light comes up, the shadow goes up one side, and then in the evening, then the shadow will come down. That gives the appearance of snake, which is, that's the temple of Kukulkan, feathered serpent. A lot of people show up on that specific date. You can actually show up 4 days before and 4 days after and still see the effect, okay? So we took pictures of one side, and we walked to the ball court, where we investigated these buildings, just every little inch of them, looked at the Mayan ball courts. Now, this one is very large. It's the largest in the Yucatan. Now, this is a game that has had a lot of controversy. There's stories about the guy who scores the winning goal can have the opportunity to be sacrificed, that the losing team sometimes is sacrificed. There's all sorts of different things. And one of the things about the game is it's played not just in the Yucatan, where the Maya are. It's played throughout Mexico with the Toltecs and the Aztecs. And so they're probably going to have a little different structure. Our guide was saying, do you think you can actually put a ball through that? Well, we watched some people do a simulation of it right in front of the church. And it takes a little practice, but it is possible to do that. It's supposed to be a more ceremonial. And one of the things about it, there's a whole legend of two people called the Hero Twins and their battle for immortality and their battle against the gods of Xbalba, which are the people of the underworld. And the game is, to some extent, invented because it's extremely noisy. And that's the idea. It drives the people underground in the afterlife crazy. It drives the gods of Xbalba crazy. So they like to play that. But there's all sorts of different things to view. So we went around there and we worked our way back to some of the other smaller buildings. We saw everything on the site with one exception. That was the sacred well where the well sacrifice takes place. Anyway, so we go back, work our way around, get back to the other side of the Castillo calendar temple. And they have a nice excavation there. What the excavation shows you is that the flat land you were walking on, which looks like flat land, is actually a slab of stones. And they show the foundation reinforcement for the temple. And they show the creation of the underground supports for all of the buildings. So it's quite nice. And we moved on and we did several other of the temples. I managed to get all the way around Calendar Temple, take some pictures, take some video. I'll be doing a video on that eventually. And we chatted and talked and stopped and had coconut milk and some other things to eat. And then walked to the kind of the far edge of Chichen Itza, which means the city of the Itzas. And there you can still find the original architecture from the Classic period. Now, the Classic period runs about 400 to 500 BCE to about 500 to 900 AD. Most of the buildings on Chichen Itza really fall into the post-Classic period, but they're is some of what they call PUC, P-U-U-C, architecture. And it's very noticeable because it has lots of gods and things on them. And the sides of the buildings have these protrusions, which is the god Chalk, the rain god, that's shown all the time. And of course, all these buildings would have been painted. You can still see a few places where the original paint is located. And so you can walk through, you can see all of this. You can't go, there's really nothing to go into. You can see some of the areas where they're excavating. And then we wandered around to some of the different temples and different areas that are being excavated. And then on the way back, I said, well, are we going to the cenote? And they said, well, not this one. We're going to go to another one. So we have a little communication issue. Cenotes are the wells that you find in parts of the Yucatan, particularly the northern part. This is part of the pulverization of the limestone by the meteor that hit 60 million years ago. And with all the limestone, you have all of these, and there's underground rivers, there's all sorts of stuff. But it's not everywhere. For example, when we went to Uxmal, Uxmal is in a different part of the Yucatan. They do not have cenotes. They have to create, in their towns, they have to create basically cisterns to collect rainwater. So rain is extremely important to these people. But at Chichen Itza, they're very rarely, it was a rare sacrifice where if it was a natural disaster of some sort, most likely a terrible drought, that they would send, sometimes it's a volunteer in the community, it's usually a woman, and they throw her into the well, which was believed to be a transitional point between this world and the next. And her job was to find whoever the god was in charge of what was wrong and tell him that things are not right. Would you please fix it? The story goes that you toss her in, she's supposed to sink to the bottom, and then 3 days later, she may come back. Well, obviously no one came back. The easy explanation was they picked a beautiful woman. The gods didn't want to let her go. There is indications, however, that the people got a little weary of this because later on, the rules changed that if you could float till noon after being thrown in at sunrise, they would pull you out. That didn't happen very often, but we didn't get to see that well. There are actually two cenotes on the site, but the one is about 300 yards from the main temple. What we ended up doing is he took us to a recreational cenote down the way away from Chichen Itza, and we went there, and we put our swimming suits in, and I wasn't wild about it, the way it looked, and we couldn't find Sherry's. Somehow or another, I'd misplaced Sherry's, so nobody went cenoteing except to look at it until we got back into the vehicle to come back to the hotel, and then I looked in a little empty spot that I never used, and there was Sherry's swimming suit. So I kind of got in trouble over that, but we'll fix that the next time we go cenote hunting, because we went to a stunning area a couple of days later. We had a nice lunch and came home. They dropped us off at the hotel, and we were exhausted. I mean, we walked the whole day, we talked the whole day, covered a lot of material. It was really excellent. So you can find tours to go to Chichen Itza that where they will just take you and then you wander around, or you can have a guide, or you can have a shorter version. There's a lot of ways of doing that. So you can find something that will fit what you're interested in, but you have to go and see it, all there is to it. It's worth the trip out. As a matter of fact, after seeing that, Sherry's hooked on the Mayans, and we're going to go and see as many of them as we possibly can. We saw Uxmal and we saw Kaaba later on in the week. We were supposed to see Mayapan, but that didn't work out, and I'll talk about that at that time. So anyway, that's our, technically it's our third day in Mérida. Next time, in part three, I'll talk about the things that we saw in Mérida that we hadn't seen the first day we were there, and then our intentions to go out to two cenotes and visit the town of Valladolid.